It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy till day's end. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, in your day, the Refreshing.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome. Happy Sabbath to each one of you all. It's a beautiful opportunity to worship the Lord on this Sabbath, June 24th. May the Lord bless and keep you and cause His face to shine upon you and give you peace. Let's have prayer. Father, thank you so much for this morning. We ask for the Holy Spirit to come and abide with us. We need you. The song says, I need thee every hour, O precious Lord. I pray that you will come and abide with us, teach us, pull us from the bondage of weakness, and give us the liberty of strength. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Our opening song on this Sabbath morning is It's About Time. All songs today are from the Master's Chorale. We look forward to worshiping the Lord together with you and want to let you know we will be worshiping also at 12 noon on Zoom. I'll be posting the link on Facebook as well as on our WhatsApp list. May God bless you.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time. It's about time. It's about time for the coming.
Praise the Lord. Happy Sabbath again, brothers and sisters. And we are going to be studying about appetite. We're going to be studying about passion or sexual perversion and Sodom and Gomorrah. We're reading Genesis chapter 18 and chapter 19. And we'll begin with verse 1 of chapter 18. Father, again, we ask for your presence in Jesus' name. Amen. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. You know, brothers and sisters, when we think of great men, you know, we think of conquering armies and getting out of dens of lions and in a fiery furnace or just something like that. God's men and women are godly. They're simply nice people, okay? There's a lot of people that are doing a work for God, but they're just not pleasant people to be around. If you are truly godly, friends, you will be nice to people. You'll be nice. Being nice can save your marriage. Being nice can save your life. Being nice can, it comes back to you. We reap what we sow. So just be nice. You know, I remember when we were having premarital counseling, with a dear counseling sister. My wife and I chose her to give us some premarital counseling. And she said, I'm going to give you the best counsel I can give to anybody in who's contemplating marriage. And she said, it's going to be two words. And what were they? Be nice. Friends, that's what it's all about. Abraham was a nice man. He was hospitable. He saw these men in the heat, and he wanted them to be comforted. He was just nice. This same man that trained his soldiers to go and rescue Sodom, he was nice. And so that's an interesting concept because a lot of times that's lacking. We're just not nice people. And he said, my Lord, if I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts after you pass on. After that ye pass on, for therefore are you come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, make ready quickly three measures of fine meal kneaded. Make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran into the herd and fetched a calf tender and good and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. You see, brothers and sisters, he worked with his wife in this situation. She wasn't planning on having visitors. He didn't just sit on the couch and say, hey, woman, fix these folks some food. You know, he went in and he entreated her, but he got involved. He went himself and picked out the calf and had someone else to dress it. They worked together. That's a beautiful concept. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree. And they did eat. And they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in years, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. And that, brothers and sisters, we understand to mean that in order for a woman to have a baby, she must have a menstrual cycle. The menstrual cycle, as we learned yesterday, as we had a wonderful, I think it was yesterday, we had a wonderful talk on how every person that is alive is one out of 500 million. The father's sperm is about 500 million. The woman only produces one egg. And in the case of fraternal twins, that month she might have produced two or release two eggs. And so the reality is the fact that fraternal twins can look totally different, be totally different genders. One could be a boy, one could be a girl, one could be lighter, one could be a little darker. They don't necessarily always look alike. They're not identical twins. That shows you that each sperm represents a different person. Because if the two sperm going into the two eggs were exactly the same genetic features, then they would be all identical. An identical twin comes when the sperm and an egg, there's conception that takes place when the sperm penetrates the egg, but the egg separates. Instead of just multiplying in one thing, it separates, then begins to multiply. So the same genetics are in both, okay? And that's why they're identical. They look alike because it's from the same sperm. But when it's a different sperm, it's a different person with different features, with different ideas, with different concepts. So you could have been 500 million different people, but God chose you. So that tells us, brothers and sisters, we are very special to God. He chose us. He said, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. He picked the sperm. Even when things weren't necessarily done right, every baby that's conceived, we can't say God was all in the, and it was a holy pair and a holy situation that took place in the conception. But the bottom line, brothers and sisters, you could have still been 500 million other people, but God chose you. So you're not one in a million, you're one in 500 million. And we learned yesterday that assuming, we don't know this, but assuming that half of the sperm have a X chromosome and half of the sperm have a Y, because they do have different, that's why you can have twins that are a boy and a girl. All of them aren't Y, all of them aren't X. The female's egg is always X, so when you put an X with an X, it's a female. When you put an X with a Y, it's a male. The male determines the gender. The male sperm determines the gender. So let's just assume that it's 50-50. We don't know that for sure, but let's assume that. Then God knew you were going to be a girl, or God knew that you were going to be a boy. He ordained it because he had 250 million opportunities to make you somebody else. Another gender, brothers and sisters. And so that was beautiful. So definitely listen to yesterday's broadcast, and then we'll pair it with today's broadcast because they do go hand in hand. All right, so therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, "Am I waxed? After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?" Of course, I believe that is referring to the pleasure of having a baby. And the Lord said unto Abraham, "Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is there anything too hard for the Lord?" Friends, you should memorize that. That's Genesis 18:14. The first part of it, is there anything too hard for the Lord? There's nothing too hard for the Lord. Whatever problem you're going through, whatever challenge you're going through, whatever temptation you're dealing with, is there anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, "I laughed not." She was lying, for she was afraid. Sometimes fear can cause us to not be truthful. And he said, "Nay, but thou didst laugh." And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do?" You see, brothers and sisters, there's a scripture in the book of Amos, and it says, "Surely the Lord will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets." So that's why we know what's going to happen in this world, because the Bible prophets have told us in the last days, perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. You ever heard of anything like that? Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Natural affection would be the affection of a man to a woman and a woman to a man, brothers and sisters, it says without natural affection. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. And it goes on to talk about other issues that we face here in this society today. The prophets have already predicted that we are in the very, very last days of this earth's history, my friends. You have Matthew 24, Luke 17. And we'll read a little bit of that before this message is over. This is worship and wellness together all in one. And you'll see that you can't have sexual, I shouldn't say you can't have, I should say a perverted appetite goes along with perverted sexual practices. And that we're going to see that these are some of the sins of Sodom. Now, some people mistakenly think that Sodom only was destroyed because of homosexuality. And a lot of people who are Pharisees would love to teach that and just, you know, get on their high horse all about the sin of homosexuality. But they don't spend the equal time dealing with, and they might, because maybe they might be dealing with it themselves, the sin of fornication, okay? Homosexuality is a type of fornication. It has many types. And any type of fornication is a sin that will keep you out of heaven. It was not just homosexuality, brothers and sisters, but homosexuality is a sin. And it is a sin today. It was a sin then. And you have people that will say, oh, they weren't destroyed because of homosexuality. There was no problem with that. They were just forcing it on people. In other words, they say that the men were about to rape the angels of God. That sounds crazy, doesn't it? But they didn't know they were angels of God. They were going to rape the men. And so that was the problem. Friends, that is not what the Bible says. And if you want to go to heaven, you need to start following what the Bible says. But the Bible doesn't say that was the only sin either. So we need to stop teaching that homosexuality was the reason or the only reason. We're going to learn what it says as we read on. So God is saying, I'm not going to hide this from Abraham. Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great nation, a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. How is it that all the nations of the earth will be blessed in him? Because one of his grandsons was Christ. That's what it was, brothers and sisters. That's why God chose the Jewish nation, because through their lineage, because Abraham's descendants were the Jewish nation, their descendants would bring in Christ. But when they brought him in, they tried to kill him. So God has rejected the Jewish nation. There is all kinds of wrong teaching about the rapture and about 7 years of tribulation. I was just discussing this with a very good friend of mine, and we don't agree. Well, we just agree to disagree, but they take the 70-week prophecy. It's 70 weeks. The Bible says 70 weeks are determined upon thy people to make an end of sin, so on and so forth. And they go all the way up to week 69, and then they separate the last week and throw it to a future time. That's not proper biblical interpretation. You don't just dissect a prophecy and cut it in half or take the last piece off and throw it into the future. That's wrong. The Bible says 70 weeks. And up all the way up to the 69th week, you kept the prophecy together. So let me tell you why they do that, because a Jesuit priest came up with that idea. Why? Because most Protestants understood that the Pope was part of the Antichrist system. The Antichrist means in place of Christ. And the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 that he, as God, would sit in the temple of God showing himself that he is God. That means he would be in place of Christ, my friend. The Pope is bowed down. People bow down to him. People worship him. That's putting himself in place of Christ. He is Antichrist, in place of Christ. He's not the only Antichrist. You can be Antichrist if you put yourself in place of Christ in anybody else's life, my friends. But the Pope definitely is Antichrist, and the Protestant churches understood that, and they taught that. So the Jesuits came up with an idea to take the heat off the Pope, so they linked it with the 70-week prophecy, and they catapulted it to the end of time, which hasn't happened yet, they say. And they came up with this concept of a secret rapture where Jesus would come and secretly take people, and then there's going to be a tribulation. And during that period of tribulation, Antichrist would appear. So then people stopped looking at the Pope as against Christ, you see. And the Pope and their system changed, or at least attempted to change the Sabbath. I like the way the Bible puts it, that they would think to change times and laws, because you can't change God's law. You can think you can, but you can't, all right? And so that's what happened. And now it was not until the 1950s was it even introduced in America to some evangelicals. They laid hold on it, grabbed it as they were speaking in tongues and having a spirit on them that was not of God, brothers and sisters, because God is not into just gibberish. And I'm not making fun of anybody, brothers and sisters. The Bible says we must stick with the Bible. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. We've got to correct these errors for instruction in righteousness. Acts chapter 2 says that the speaking in tongues was languages. And then 1 Corinthians 14 says, which is the chapter they say is a different manifestation. No, 1 Corinthians 14, in that chapter, it says this is a fulfillment of Isaiah 28. Isaiah 28 is when sound doctrine was given to the people, but they would not hear. And so God says, I will give it them in another tongue. That was languages, just like it was. But it was the word of God. It wasn't some secret language that you speak in gibberish. It doesn't even make sense. Women falling out, exposing themselves. You got to have other women covering them with sheets. And they're so loud and banging and noisome. You can't even hear the person talking next to you. God is not the author of confusion, brothers and sisters. That's not a godly spirit. That is the spirit of the enemy. But God winks at ignorance. Praise God for the truth in Acts 17, 30 and 31. God winks at our ignorance, but he wants all men everywhere to repent. If you read 1 Corinthians 14 carefully, he is downgrading tongue speaking and saying, that's not the most important thing. It's important that we teach truth, which is prophesying. That's what Paul is saying. Paul didn't even pray that way. Many people misread verse 14. It says, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. Well, he's saying, if I was to do this, and if since prayer is between you and God, he's just showing you that how stupid would it be that there be communication between me and God, and I don't even know what I'm saying. So the next verse says, I don't pray that way. He said, I pray with my understanding. And so people hang on the one verse that if I pray in the Spirit, oh, there's something called praying in the Spirit. No, he said if I was to pray and didn't understand what I was saying, it's not even beneficial. So I don't pray that way. They missed the next verse. So I'm not going to get too far off, brothers and sisters, but I'm here to tell you it was evangelical speaking in tongue people that the Jesuits passed this on to, and they brought it into modern Christianity, so to speak. It's not in the Bible. It's just a theory. The Bible says that Jesus will come with power and great glory. The Bible says every eye shall see him, Revelation 1:7. The Bible says in Acts chapter 1 that he will return in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven, and he went up on a cloud, brothers and sisters. The Bible says when he comes, people who weren't ready would run to the rocks and the mountains and say, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 2 that the wicked are destroyed by the brightness of his coming. That's not secret. It's bright. So there's many scriptures. But that's how it came in. It came through evangelicals passed on by a Jesuit priest who was trying to take the heat off the Catholic Church, and it worked. People look at the Pope as a good man. Bible says he's a man of sin. That's what the Bible says. Now, I'm not judging him. The Bible says he's the man of sin, the son of perdition. That's what the Bible says. I wouldn't want, if they wanted to exalt me to be the Pope, I wouldn't want to be the Pope because he's a sinful man, one of the greatest sinful men in this world. So the Bible tells us, brothers and sisters, that through the prophecy, he had the feet of a bear in Revelation chapter 13. We'll study that in our Bible study as we're going through various important topics before baptism, friends. We have to study Revelation 13 because it introduces a very final test, the mark of the beast. But it speaks of the first beast, and it says he had the feet of a bear. That talks about the bear in Daniel 7, and that was Medo-Persia. In Medo-Persia, the king didn't change. He couldn't change his own decree. So even though the Pope is not persecuting people and killing them and throwing them to the flames and all that because he lost the power to do so, he is still a persecutor, and he is just biding his time because he can't just do that because the nations won't allow it. But as he's looking good to the nations and they see him as a peacemaker, and now anything that Rome promotes, you should be skeptical of. Rome promoted the vaccine. Rome promotes climate change because they want a climate Sunday. They have made it very clear. It's the beginnings of the Sunday Law movement, brothers and sisters. Or they're attaching it to the Sunday Law movement. All right? Anything Rome highly promotes, you should be skeptical of. All right, that being said, let's read on. Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. And watch this. This is what God had to say about Abraham. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and that he shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. We as men should command our households after the thus saith the Lord, friends. We should, and that doesn't mean that you're a dictator and acting like a general and barking and cursing and all of that. You're a godly leader, a humble leader, a passionate, compassionate leader in your home. But he knew that Abraham would say, no, we can't do this. This would in our home. And everything that he had jurisdiction over, Abraham said, listen, we have to follow God here. You see, sometimes we try to excuse things. Well, we say, that's just my guest house. I can let them do whatever they want to do in the guest house, I guess. I can let them play all kind of crazy music and do all kind of crazy things. That's not my guest house. That's the basement. We'll let them go ahead and play that kind of stuff in the basement. Now, you're bringing spirits in your house, brothers and sisters, and so you shouldn't allow that. If this is the house of God, then keep it the house of God so you can keep a godly spirit. If you haven't been doing it, just bring your family together and say, listen, this is how God has convicted me, and I need you all to understand that I want God to bless our home. So we do these things in our home, okay? Now, the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it which is come unto me, and if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? I'm reading verse 24 of Genesis 18. That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. Just 50 people, brothers and sisters. And Abraham answered and said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Peradventure, there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for the lack of 5? And he said, if I find there 45, I will not destroy it. And he spake unto him yet again and said, peradventure, there be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. And he said unto him, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure, there shall be 30 be found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak to the Lord. Peradventure, there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. And he said, let the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's. Let me tell you how many were actually righteous in the city. One. But God was willing to spare the family of that one if they would go, because he's going to try to save them. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned unto his place. See, brothers and sisters, you might be righteous, but if you hang around in these wicked cities, it's not going to be good. God has given us warning. Let's start picking up and looking at real estate. If you have the opportunity to sell your house and move to a more rural location, start looking, start praying, start seeking God about that, brothers and sisters. And even if you don't have any money, start praying, still start looking, start packing, doing a little something. You don't know what God's going to provide. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Now, what it happens is we just want to live in a Taj Mahal, in a mansion. It might not be that way. You might have to downgrade. But it's not safe in these cities, brothers and sisters. And it's going to be famines coming in the city. There's going to be a lot of additional increase of crime in the city, and it will not be safe. And you will be pressured when it comes down to it to receive the mark of the beast more readily in the city, because you haven't gone out to grow a little garden and have some provisions that, generally speaking, people won't come in and steal. Okay. They're going to be breaking into houses. I'm just going to be real with you. And stealing provisions when the stores close and there's no food. You know, the cities are sustained by a thin, really, thread of supply. And if you stop the truckers, that's all it would take. Stop the trucks from running. Stop the trains from running. A strike can bring on famine, brothers, in a city. We've got, they say, about 2 days' worth of food in a grocery store in the city. They just get daily shipments. They've got about 2 days' worth of food. And it's probably less than that because once it's closed, you're going to have a run on the grocery stores and people are going to hoard, and then people are going to steal from those who hoard it and so on and so forth. Let me pause and take you somewhere else, brothers and sisters. We were talking about the sins of Sodom, and I want to share with you that the sins of Sodom are not all what you think. Let's go to Ezekiel 16, 49 to 50. Ezekiel 16, 49 and 50. Okay, we're going to go to the book of Ezekiel. And we're looking at 49 and 50. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. This is going to be proof that it's not just homosexuality. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. Selfish, wouldn't help the poor, was proud. And they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Now that is abomination, this homosexuality. Therefore, I took them away as I saw good. So it's not just the abomination, which is homosexuality, brothers and sisters. And why would I call that an abomination? Because the Bible calls it an abomination. Let's go to Luke chapter 18, verse 22. Luke chapter 18. I didn't mean Luke. I think it's Leviticus 18, 22. In Leviticus chapter 18. Now, some people say, oh, that's the old covenant. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. That's a lie. Not the old covenant. You're not saved more than one way. God had one covenant. Man made a second covenant that was called the old covenant because when they spilled the blood of the lambs in Exodus 24, that's what you needed to call it a covenant. But God's covenant was not done away with. It was still there. It was given to Abraham. It was actually given to Adam in Genesis 3:15. It was called a covenant when in the time of Noah. We've read that. And then it's given to Abraham. It's the same covenant. It is salvation by grace through faith in Christ. Christ had not come yet, so God added a few things as reminders that they were to continue to look for the Savior to come. So they had the system of sacrifice and feast days and those kinds of things. Once Jesus came, that system was done away with, and that is not the system of the Ten Commandments. That is just a basic moral code which has the weekly Sabbath. But we're told in Colossians that we don't have to keep the law of commandments contained in ordinances, friends. But it says in Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. That's simple, brothers and sisters. So the only Bible that they had in the New Testament was the Old Testament. And the New Testament writers, because they were still writing, but they said all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. So if the whole Old Testament was done away with, they wouldn't have had anything on which to look upon as scripture. That doesn't even make sense. Okay? So you've been lied to, friends. The majority of the Old Testament is still binding upon us. There were certain laws that were part of the ceremonial system that pointed forward to Christ. And then there are certain laws that now that we have other sub-governments, God has allowed the governments to handle the issues of law and order. So if it says an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, if somebody knocks out your eye, you don't have the opportunity to go knock out theirs. You have to call the police, okay? So God doesn't enforce or have us enforce those laws of the Bible that related to law and order. We have to go to our judicial system today in our society, okay? So that is the difference. Other than that, what the Bible teaches is what the Bible teaches. And if the Bible teaches that homosexuality is an abomination, there's nothing that points to Christ about that. So it's not done away with at the cross, okay? It's not a shadow of good things to come, still binding upon us. And it has nothing to do with man's penalty. Now, they might have had a penalty back then, but we can't impose the penalty back then. You had a penalty for some forms of adultery back then. We don't impose those penalties because we allow the government to do those things. The Bible says, let every man be subject unto the higher powers, Romans 13, but there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. So, my friends, that's why we still have rights, because the highest power is God. And it says, let every soul be subject unto the higher power. So a policeman is a soul. So when you talk to a policeman, be respectful, but understand he has to answer to God. So you must answer to God. You can't do what he says or she if they're telling you to do something that is against what God is telling you to do. A judge is a soul. So if the judge orders you to do something that is against what God said, okay, then you have to follow God. You do it respectfully, but you say, Your Honor, I can't do that because that goes against my conscience. And it goes against what God has said. So that's why America was great, because it allowed the conscience of the individual to supersede the laws of man. As long as what they had in their conscience didn't hurt anybody. In other words, you can't say, well, in my conscience, I'm supposed to kill people. No, that doesn't work. But the bottom line is that if your conscience was to worship on a particular day, if your conscience was to establish that marriage should be between a man and a woman, if your conscience was to not take a vaccine, you were supposed to be honored in that conscience. That's the old America. It's not that way anymore, and that's why God is going to allow America to go down, brothers and sisters. And the Bible predicts that. National apostasy will lead to national ruin. This used to be the greatest country in the world. It's no longer, and it will fall, brothers and sisters, because it's going to lead out, in, according to prophecy, in violating the consciences of people. That's why these steps, vaccines and other things, are very important steps. Because the Bible does say that we should be concerned about what goes in our body. It says, whether therefore you eat or drink, that's going in your body, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. And friends, it has been found, it has been proven, it is without controversy that this was man-made. The Biden administration said it was, the Trump administration said it was, and that means that everything we went through, it was caused by man. It was not natural. So why were people denied work? Why were people denied places in entry into businesses? Why were families separated? Why were some people killed and just denounced? All because of something man-made, friends. And so I'm here to tell you that we need to pass the little test, because a bigger one is coming. If we didn't pass the big test, the little test, how are we going to pass the big one? There's a beautiful scripture. Let me see if I can find it in the book of Jeremiah. Let's see. Yes. Jeremiah 12:5. Watch this. It says, if thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace, wherein thou trustest, they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? Brothers and sisters, we've got to pass the little test. Another way of saying this is Luke 16:10. He that is faithful in that which is least will be faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least will be unjust also in much. If we can't run with the footmen, how are we going to tend with horses? And when there's peace and we're weary, how are we going to handle things when the Jordan swells? These are powerful principles. Let's pass the test today. So the bottom line is, if you failed the test when it came down to something, just put in your arm instead of trusting in God. Friends, there were many natural remedies that could have helped us during the pandemic, but they shot them all down, and they tried to censor everything. So the people that knew these truths had to go on Rumble and Brand New Tube and Brighton and Substack. These are alternative video platforms and information platforms, because you couldn't get on Facebook and Twitter and YouTube and tell these truths, brothers and sisters. You couldn't do it. They've relaxed those things. And let me tell you why they relaxed them. Because the data came out. And the data came out and it showed that one out of every 40 people, approximately, one out of every 40 people, that's the data. The data they tried to hide, by the way, there's a federal lawsuit that took place. And in that federal lawsuit, the federal government said, we want to wait 55 years. Now, I'm 55 years of age. You remember they were saying, follow the science, follow the data. Okay? Now, of course, when I just said that, my signal went blank. So let me just move to another subject. So let's just move on, brothers and sisters, because they don't like this information to get out. But the bottom line, friends, is that one out of every 40 people died in the Pfizer clinical trial. One out of 40. And that's the truth. And so that's a fact. That's not conspiracy theory. That's what the data showed. And we were lied to. And that's what happened. And so getting back to this, we're back to Genesis 18 now, because all this is connected. All this is interconnected. The whole Bible is interconnected. And so here we now, Abraham is finding out that they would not be destroyed if he could find 10, just 10 godly people. We read that it was pride and it was other things. It wasn't just homosexuality, but there was an abomination, and that is an abomination, brothers and sisters. And there are many other scriptures. Romans chapter 1 speaks about being without natural, I mean, 1 Timothy mentions about being without natural affection. Romans 1, meaning going against nature, that's what happened, friends. And we've learned, just look at yesterday's message. God could have chosen 250, he had 250 million opportunities to make you a woman if you're a man. He had 250 million opportunities to make you a man if you're a woman. So if he made you a woman, brothers and sisters, out of 500 other, and he made you who you are, out of 500 million other choices that he had, roughly, you're blessed. All right, let's read Genesis 19. And there came two angels to Sodom at even. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, behold, now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, nay, but we will abide in the streets all night. You see, that's what's wrong, friends, just staying up all late, staying outside, staying in the street. But these are the angels talking, and they were just testing Lot's persistence. But Lot knew what was in those streets, and he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house, and he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came to thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. Basically, we're going to have sex with them. We're going to rape them. And they were men. So this was a problem in Sodom. This was an abomination. There was a lot of homosexuality in Sodom, brothers and sisters. Now, a lot of people are trying to tell you that, oh, that wasn't the problem. It was just that they were going to rape them. Brothers and sisters, the Bible says in Ezekiel that they committed an abomination. The abomination was homosexuality. That's what the Bible calls the abomination. It doesn't say rape is an abomination, to my knowledge. But the bottom line is it clearly says that a man lying with a man is an abomination. Okay? And so I don't even know. Yes, there were some rapes that took place in the Bible, but that wasn't a prevalent sin that we record in the Bible. We know David's one of his sons raped his half-sister, but it's not something you just see a lot in the Bible, okay? So my brothers and sisters, that wasn't the issue. The issue was a man doing with a man that which he should do with a woman that should be his wife, and a woman doing with a woman that which she should do with her husband, okay, who would be a man. That's an abomination according to the Word of God. So, and they called unto Lot and said, where are the men which came to thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, I pray ye, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you and do you to them as is good in your eyes. Only these men do nothing. To these men do nothing. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. That just shows you how much Lot had been affected, that he would give his daughters over to these ravishing men. That's a shame. Virgin daughters, by the way. But the bottom line is he knew probably they weren't interested in that, but he was just trying to appease them. The point being made, though, it just shows you when you are in, when you behold things, you become changed, you begin to compromise. And we need to stay with Christ so that we don't have a spirit of compromise. And so, you know, these are the same two daughters that will do something later. But you have to understand, think about how they felt when they heard that. And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. See, when you start talking about homosexuality and calling it evil, how you can't judge me, that comes from Sodom, brothers and sisters. That comes from Sodom. Do you have the spirit of Sodom? Are you a homosexual and you got the spirit of Sodom just because people want to teach what the Bible says and they teach that it's wrong? You say, oh, you can't judge me. Nobody's trying to judge you. We're telling you what God has said. What God has said is real. It will come to pass. We love you. Let me tell you something. A lot of people are homosexuals today because of somebody broke a law and manipulated and hurt them in some way. Even if the hurt was pleasurable, okay? Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. But often when they were a child, they were violated as a child and as a result of that. Now, God can forgive any sin, brothers and sisters, and there have been many people with various forms of sexual perversion that have been forgiven. You just need to repent. Some people don't think certain things can be forgiven, and you're wrong. If certain things can't be forgiven, then you'll never be forgiven, brothers and sisters. The bottom line is that God has a plan for our lives, and we need to follow that plan, and all who do will be helpful and blessed. And oftentimes, those who were violated themselves become violators. That's a cycle of sin that we see in this world today. So, and they said, stand back. And they said, they gave the statement about him being a judge. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters? And whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. So obviously Lot had other children and they had husbands, other daughters and they had husbands, because he said, son-in-law and thy son. So he had sons, he had daughters that had been married, they had husbands, and they were all to go out. But we will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord had sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-laws, which married his daughters, and said, so evidently he just had daughters, because he had sons-in-laws, married his daughters and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, then the angel hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, you see, brothers and sisters, you can be a good person, but you could be a lingerer. You need to do what God says and do it quickly. Don't be lingering when you hear the voice of God. Stand fast and move forward quickly. While he lingered, the men lay hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in the plain. Escape to the mountain. You know, brothers and sisters, when God said don't look back, he means what he says. Don't look back, lest thou be consumed. God tells us what to do. And Lot said unto them, oh, not so, my Lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight. and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. You see, sometimes we just think, oh, if I move to the country, I'm going to die. Well, they told him to move to the mountains, and he was afraid to go to the mountains. So notice, because he had been so citified, if I can use that term, so connected to the city, he wanted to move to a smaller city. So it says, behold, now this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. So he understood the problem was, it was a lot of sin in the big city. And he said unto him, see, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything until thou come thither. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar, when the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back and became But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Then Abraham gat him up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah, toward all the land of the plain, and behold, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelt. And Lot went up to Zoar and dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar. And he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. So when he saw that city, reality set in. He said, listen, I should have done what they said. Let me just get out of this city too. And he went in. And the firstborn said unto the younger, and this is going to show that really Lot was the only one really that was faithful, because his daughters, even though they were virgins, had picked up the spirit of that sexual perversion of the city. And the firstborn said unto the younger, our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that he may preserve seed. We may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he perceived not when she lay down nor when she arose. And it came to pass on the morrow that the firstborn said unto the younger, behold, I lay yesternight with my father. Let us make him drink wine this night also, and go thou in and lie with him, that he may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night also, and the younger arose and lay with him, and he perceived not when she lay down nor when she arose. Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. So my brothers and sisters, people, don't realize that oftentimes people become lesbians and homosexuals or gay because there's been some incest in the family, some male figure that did wrong to a younger female in the family, or some male older figure that did wrong to some male in the family. God is not into any of these sexual perversions, brothers and sisters. They're all sin, and we must overcome by the grace of God. And the firstborn bare a son and called his name Moab, the same as the father of the Moabites unto this day. And the younger, she also bare a son and called his name Ben-Ami, the same as the father of the children of Ammon unto this day. So my brothers and sisters, God wants clean hands and a pure heart. We can have that if we trust in the Lord. Let's do that. Let's be faithful to God in all things and all times. Let's not be overly condemnatory. Let's not be condemnatory toward those who are homosexual. We condemn the sin, but we also condemn the sin of fornication, okay, between a man and a woman. But we love the sinner. I want to share something with you, brothers and sisters. Let's go to Luke 17, Luke chapter 17. We see this movement of lesbian and homosexuality rampant in our society today. I want to share something with you. This is a chapter that deals with the signs of Christ's return. And it says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. So all the perversion and sin and all of that. And I forgot to bring out that in order for them to get Lot to do what they wanted Lot to do, the daughters, they had to give him wine. So you have to, you cannot separate your health message from your spiritual walk. If you eat perverting things or drink perverting things, it's going to pervert you. That's why it's not best to eat the flesh of a dead animal. You start acting like an animal, my friend. And so as you eat more plant-based foods and things of this nature, your disposition changes, your spirit changes, you become more calm, you become more rational. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat and drink. That means they just ate whatever they wanted to. Health message was not important. They married wives. They were given in marriage. That means they were just marrying whoever. In other words, the passion of the world sexually was out of control until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat and they drank and they brought and they sold and they planted and they built it. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. So the Bible says it's just as it was in the days of Lot. It mentions several sins, but we know also that the sin of homosexuality was prevalent in Sodom. So as we see the LGBT movement gaining prevalence, it's just a sign that Jesus is coming very soon. If you're in the LGBT community, you're on the wrong side. It wasn't, they weren't approved of God. You can overcome, brothers and sisters. You're not happy. You're not at peace because there's no peace to the wicked. The way of transgressors is hard. You can be happy, go and yell and scream and cry out at gay pride parades and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, when you're at home with your own thoughts and you're contemplating your walk with God, there's no peace. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. So, brothers and sisters, God has given us a commission to be faithful to him at all times, to get rid of all sin out of our lives. And as in the days of Noah and the days of Lot, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. And we see that in our society today. May God help us. May God bless us. God will triumph. His truth will go forward. It's your choice as to whether you want to be on the right side or the wrong side. And trust me, it's not going to be popular by man to be on the right side. But you are in the majority when you're in the right side because you have the whole universe, unfallen worlds, thousands and thousands of angels on your side and God on your side. The majority is actually righteous beings in this world. The minority is unrighteous beings, and they will be destroyed. Just don't be destroyed with them because God is going to destroy sin. If we cling to it, we're destroyed as well. May God bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you and give you peace this morning, brothers and sisters. We're going to go ahead and close with prayer. Father, be with us in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. We will do roll call, and if anybody wants to share anything, please feel free. We have Indiana on Facebook. We have Virginia on Facebook. We have South Carolina on Facebook. We have a brother on Facebook. I'm not sure, Justin, where you're from, at what state or country you're from. We have North Carolina. And as far as comments that were made, we have a happy Sabbath from our sister Selena. We have the same from sister Lorian. We have a happy Sabbath from Justin and a happy Sabbath from Peyton. Those on the call, let's get the roll call first. We have representation from Ohio, Maryland, Delaware, Delaware, and Delaware again, New Jersey. We have Ohio again. We have Alaska. We have Oklahoma. And we have Georgia. If anybody wants to share anything before my wife closes out with prayer, please feel free. We will be having our church service today. It will be at 12 noon, and you're welcome to join us, brothers and sisters. 557-587-3947 is the Zoom ID. I'll go ahead and type that in. Zoom ID is 557-587, and that's 3947. We will still post a link on Facebook, but this is the Zoom ID, 557-587-3947, and the password is torso in small letters. Okay? So that's in your comments there. And we do have Sister Desiree on the call. We'll take her call at this time. Good morning, Sister. Happy Sabbath.
Good morning. Happy Sabbath. This was a very interesting study than the other as well. And it's just really interesting. I just had to say that. And just wanted to say hello to everyone. And just keep pressing. Keep pressing. It says faith comes by hearing and hearing of the word of God.
Amen. Thank you, sister. Happy Sabbath to you.
Happy Sabbath.
All right. Then there's no one else in the queue. I'll turn it over to my wife, Undreamed Of, to have our closing prayer and then lead out in the fourth commandment.
Eternal Father, we thank you for this time of worship. We thank you for this time of holiness. And now as we have entered into these hours of sacredness, we pray that we can spend intimate time with you, Lord. We ask that your spirit will continue to teach us the things we need to know as we are being spiritually fed, helping us to be able to draw close to you. We pray for every soul on this line that you will bless every heart in a special way. We ask for special healings to be granted for spiritual, mental, and physical. And we pray, Lord, that we'll be faithful to you, serving you in all that we can do to be able to hasten your return. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, thy daughter, thy maidservant, nor the cattle, nor the stranger that's within that gate. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested on the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Happy Sabbath, and God bless you.
Amen. Closing song, I will trust in the Lord.
I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will worship the Lord. I will worship the Lord. I will.